Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 13, as well as the section a few verses later when Jesus explains the parable of the sower. Matthew writes, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word of God. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." So far our text. Dear friends in Christ, if you saw the movie The Field of Dreams, you will know where the title of my sermon comes from. If you plant it, it will grow. The main character in Field of Dreams was played by Kevin Costner, and he has a dream that if he builds a baseball diamond in the middle of his cornfield in Iowa, many dead baseball stars will come and play on his baseball field. Obviously, the movie was a fantasy, but here in our text and in the Old Testament lesson, we have a real promise from God that if you plant it, it will grow. Our text recounts Jesus telling of a parable which we call the parable of the sower. Even Jesus calls it that. We might also call it the parable of the soils or the parable of sowing, because the parable is not so much about the sower, but where the seed falls and what happens to it afterwards. To understand this parable, it is helpful to know about the farming practices in Jesus' day, and maybe a little bit about the farming that we have today. So if you drive out in the countryside here in Wisconsin during the planting season, you'll see giant green, blue, and red tractors with enclosed air-conditioned cabs and 4, 6, maybe even 8 wheels. Some of the tractors even have tracks on them like a tank, except they're rubber, not metal. Well, we all know that they didn't have air-conditioned tractors and 16-row planters back in Jesus' day. But you may not know about other differences, like, for example, they planted in the fall and not the spring because of the differences in climate. Israel is still in the northern hemisphere, so they have summer and winter just like we do. But it's also a warmer climate than us, about as far south as Key West, Florida. And the rain patterns there are very different than ours. So it rains in the winter months, and it's very dry in the summer months. So during the early fall, the plants sprout up and grow well, and then when it gets cold, they kind of stay dormant and they don't grow very much. And then as the spring comes, they finish their growing cycle, they mature very quickly, and they blossom and harvest. When I was on vicarage, we lived in Washington State. And while we were there, the news had reports about in Seattle, everyone was upset with the Parks Department because they had wasted money. They had planted new trees in all the parks, but they had planted the trees in the spring and they hadn't adequately watered them. You see, Seattle has the same kind of rain pattern. It rains in the winter and it's dry in the summer. So you plant your trees in the spring or in the fall, they get rain and they grow and they get well established, and then when the summer comes, they have deep roots and they don't wither and dry. So it was in Israel. They planted their grains in the fall. They harvested the grains in the spring. They also sowed their seed a little bit differently. In modern times, farmers till the land right after the harvest in the fall, and then they till it again in the spring to get it ready for planting. Some farmers today don't even till the soil at all, but they practice what's called no-till farming, and they drill the seed in to the ground. Well, in ancient Israel, the seed was sown first and then plowed under. Farmers today don't do this because their plows cut a lot deeper than the ancient plows. Even the horse-drawn plows of our 100 years ago cut deeper than the plows of ancient Israel. The ancient Israel plows were mostly all wood, but a little bit later they had an edge of bronze or iron, but they only cut a little bit of the soil, not 6 inches to a foot, which our modern plows then turn over. So if they had planted and then tilled today, the seeds would be too deep. So the seed was planted and then the ground tilled just a little bit, and then they would drive an ox-drawn harrow over the field, or a herd of sheep or cattle would be driven to smash down that tilled soil and set the seed into the ground. Well, in this whole process, some of the seed would be lost. They scattered it by hand. And Jesus uses this real-life situation to illustrate what happens when the gospel is sown in people's hearts. He says that some of the seed fell along the path. Well, as they were scattering the seed, there would be paths between the fields and maybe through the fields that the people used to get to the field, to work the fields. And along those paths, the soil would be firmly packed. If you've ever seen pictures of the Oregon Trail, even today, those wagon ruts are still there and nothing can grow there because the soil is packed down so hard from years of wagons riding over it. Well, Jesus compares this to those who hear the message but do not understand it, and the evil one snatches them away what was sown in their hearts. Jesus also says that some of the seed fell in the rocky places. I got a lot of shaking their heads here as I explained this because some of you grew up on farms and remember doing this. On modern farms, most of the rocks have been removed already, but the annual frost cycle tends to push rocks up to the surface so that each year the farmers go out and they pick rock. On the family farms, often Dad is driving the tractor and he's pulling the hay wagon behind, and the rest of the family is picking up rocks. I don't see any bobbing heads. Oh, there's one. So not as many of you grew up on farms. But if you know somebody that did, you ask them about picking rock and they will tell you stories, I promise you. When the family encounters a larger rock that's too big for one or two people to pick up, they'll bring out the tractor with the front end loader and they'll pick that rock up and they'll put it on the trailer. And every once in a while, especially here in Wisconsin with those glacial erratics, those huge rocks, you'll come across one that's too big, even for the front end loader. And so then they mark it and they go around that rock. And as you drive around in the spring, you might see those spots in the middle of the field where they're not tilled and you wonder what's going on. That's probably what it is. There's something there that they have to go around. Well, obviously, in Jesus' day, they didn't have large, modern, engine-driven equipment to remove the rocks from the fields. They also didn't have the freeze-thaw cycle to push those rocks back up to the surface. And so the rocks would stay hidden under that thin layer of soil. And consequently, because that thin soil warmed faster than the rest, those plants would sprout up quicker. But then as the sun burnt down and they didn't have anywhere to go for their roots to get the moisture, they would dry up and wither. And Jesus compares this seed to the one who hears the gospel and receives it with joy. But this person has no root, and his faith only lasts a short time. Some of the seed falls among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked out all the plants. Anyone who has a garden, a flower bed, or even just a lawn knows how difficult weeds can be to control. We have a flower bed in the front of our yard that's got some hostas in it, but it's in the sun, and the hostas like the shade. And we just can't get the weeds to keep from choking out those hostas because they grow so slowly because they're in the sun. Jesus compares this seed, the one that falls among the thorns, to the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deception of wealth choke it out and make it unfruitful. Finally, Jesus reports that some of the seed falls on good soil. It sprouts and it grows up and it produces a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So far, Jesus has been comparing this to reality that people knew, but here he departs from reality. Because in Jesus' day, they didn't get 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. They were lucky if they got 10 or 20 times what was sown. They would sow a bushel of seed and they would get 10 to 20 bushels of grain at harvest. So Jesus points out that when God's seed produces fruit, it produces fruit in amazing abundance. Abundance beyond what we could even imagine. In the Old Testament lesson, God promises that His word will not return to Him empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which He sends it. So whenever God's word is sown, it will fall on good soil. Many will hear the word of God, and it will be snatched away, scorched, or choked out. But many also will hear the word of God, believe it, and it will produce fruit in abundance. Gardening can be frustrating. Plants die, endless weeds demand attention, birds and rodents may rob you of seed, and small plants are ripening fruit. I had a lady in the early service tell me that she planted her flowers and the rabbits keep eating them all up. And yet, despite all of the losses, when you pick and eat something from your own garden, or when your flowers begin to bloom, or when your grass is green and freshly mown and you can walk across it on your bare feet, all of the time and the effort proves worthwhile. Well, if planting a seed in the garden or maintaining a flower bed or growing your lawn can be so rewarding on this earth, how much more worthwhile and rewarding is the planting of the seed of the gospel in those who need to hear it? The devil may plunder, hot times may kill, and worries can destroy, but the harvest will produce good fruit. It is certain. God has promised it. And so today we celebrate it, that when you plant God's word, it will grow into faith. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The peace of God that passes all human understanding that He has planted in our hearts through His word and through baptism. keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.